good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee and the Word. I'm excited about this message today. It's all about transformation and being truly transformed by the Word of God and by His power in our lives. So we're going to start this morning with a word of prayer. Lord God, we come to You this morning, Father. We lay our lives at Your feet. God, we thank You for Your Word that has the power to truly transform our lives. So, Lord God, speak through me today. God, speak the words that You want spoken, Lord. May it empower people to live a life above their circumstances, truly transformed by Your power, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love. So, Lord, we thank You that we can stay powered up through the Word of God and our vital connection to one another. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you guys remember the Transformers? I know when my son Michael was little, the very first Transformers came out, and it was a toy that looked like one thing, but when Michael began to manipulate that toy, it began to change shape, and it began to change form, and suddenly it looked like a completely different entity. I believe in the last few years, the Transformers have had a resurgence, and I believe there have been movies about the Transformers. And I was thinking this morning as I was pondering on this message and studying and just really going over the scriptures, I was thinking about our lives and what total transformation looks like. And I thought about years ago when I was in my mid-20s, when I really surrendered my life to the Lord and gave my life to Christ. I remember I had a boss who I dearly loved, but I had definitely not been following the Lord, and it had become a little bit of a joke in our office about my lifestyle. And the men in the office would make comments, you know, when I would have a late night out or whatever, as I was totally running from God. So when God grabbed me and literally took me and shook me and woke me up and I laid my life on the altar before Him, I literally, when I say I got saved down to the very core of my being. And my desires begin to change, and I had no desire to do the things that I had done before. And I'm sure many of you on this call today or listening to the recording had the same experience. But I remember one day my boss came to me not long after I made the decision to follow Christ. And I believe, even though he was very high up in his church, he was a leader in his church, I really believe he was uncomfortable by the change that he saw in me. And I remember one day he cornered me and he looked at me and he kind of smiled and laughed a little bit. And he said, "You know, Dana, a leopard can't change its spots." And I remember immediately it rose up in me and I said to him, "But I am not a leopard. I am a child of God, and God is the one that does the transformation. I may not be able to change my spots, but my God can change me, and He is changing me, and He has changed me." It was interesting because he didn't say much to me about that after that. So it really was simply a matter of allowing God to come in and begin to change my wants, change my desires, the places I wanted to go, the people I wanted to be with, all begin to be transformed in my life. So let's take a look at transformation. In Romans 12, 2 and 3, the Word says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." So we know that God is telling us in His Word that we have the ability to no longer follow the pattern of the world. But the key is that we have to be transformed by renewing our mind. That's one of the things we do on Coffee and the Word. It's a daily renewal of the mind. And every morning when you get up and you put on the Word of God, or you put on teaching tapes, you put on praise music, you get into your Bible and begin to read and study, you are literally transforming and becoming transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how many of you know we have to do that? God is not going to just completely zap us and suddenly everything changes. this is going to be an act of our will. It's an act of participation.
What?
We have to press in. We have to strive earnestly, and we have to work toward this. This morning, one of the scriptures that came to me as I was thinking
about... Did you change clothes?
Many of my friends are being furloughed as they work for the federal government.
You didn't change clothes.
And I think that this morning, as I was thinking about all my friends that were not going to work this morning and would not be having a paycheck coming, and I thought about that scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 that says, "We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed." And I was thinking about times in my life when I felt like I was hard-pressed on every side. I love the fact that God's Word says we may be hard-pressed, but when your mind has been transformed by the Word of God, you may have those times when you're hard-pressed. In fact, you will, but you will not be crushed. You may be perplexed about the way things are going or some things that aren't changing or happening, but you will not be in despair. And you may be persecuted. There may be people that come against you and situations that are unfair, but God will never abandon you. You may feel like you've been struck down, but you will not be destroyed. So much of this is about that transformation that happens in our lives and that metamorphosis like that from a caterpillar to a butterfly. I was talking to someone last night. We were talking about the caterpillar and the butterfly. And we were actually on a mission to help a young man, and I was just actually along for the ride and just observing. And, you know, so many times when people are in need, we want to fix everything for them. And this is a really strong word because I tend to be a mercy girl. And so throughout my life, when someone would be in trouble, I would want to go and fix the problem for them. And you want to go in and be their solution. But we have to let God be their solution. It doesn't mean we never do anything for them. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us. But if we go in and try to fix everything for those people in our lives that are hurting, we can literally cripple them and cause them to back up and go backwards. And we were talking about the butterfly and how that caterpillar, when it goes into that metamorphosis, it wraps itself in that cocoon. And during that time in the cocoon, it looks like everything is dead. It looks like nothing is happening. In fact, it's not attractive. It's not beautiful at all. But when you realize that if you go in and cut open that cocoon trying to help that caterpillar escape, you have literally, not only have you thwarted its growth and stopped it from becoming the beautiful butterfly it was intended to be, you will literally kill the creature. And how many times do we try to go and fix someone else and fix somebody else's problems when we have our own problems that are staring us in the face? And oftentimes ours are so glaring, but it makes us feel better if we're going to help someone else. And so we have to be really sensitive to this. And also, when you're going through your times of trial and you're in your cocoon and you're in a difficult spot, we can't expect everyone to bail us out. God says he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that he will make a way of escape. So there is a way, but we have to find the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is Jesus, it is God that he wants us to lean on, and not our church, not our fellow Christians, not our fellow man. And so often people get offended because they go to the church needing money or wanting help, and the churches. And let me tell you something. I love what Michelle Steele said to me when we went into the prison back in June. Michelle Steele, and you may know her from VTN, Christian Television. She has Faith Builders, Pressure, No Problem, spots, motivational spots. But, you know, Michelle was a drug addict, a heroin addict, a prostitute on the streets of Nashville, Tennessee. She died twice, and when that second time that she died and she knew what was happening, she literally ran across the street with the needle still in her arm, from what I remember from her book. and literally, or dripping with blood anyway. I don't know if the needle was still in her arm, but I remember she was had just had a needle in her arm and had gone. She felt like she was going to hell, and she ran across the street to a church that was across the street from where she was doing her tricks, and she said, you know, somebody save me. And she literally got saved that night, but it was not an instant. It was a transformation. It was a process of her being fed constantly, staying in church, being there every time the doors were open, latching onto a mentor. But here's what she said to me that impacted me. She said to me, those people at that church were not the ones that provided for me. When I had to get my driver's license back, when I had to get a vehicle, when I had to find my own place, and they did not bail me out. I did not find the church to be my source. It was my God that was my source. It was God that directed people, a divine appointment. Someone would knock on my door and say, God told me to give you $100. Or I would be waiting tables and someone would write me a note and say, I felt impressed to leave you this large tip. And she said, I learned early on that God was my source. He was my source of transformation. He was my source of provision. And that really has spoken volumes to me as we are really wanting and just want to help people as they're transitioning and trying to get back on their feet. We can actually do more harm than good, and so we have to be led by the Spirit. But as we are being transformed and we're allowing others to go through their transformation, we have to be willing to go through the dark times. We have to be willing to go through that times of being in that cocoon and allowing God to do his transforming work in our lives. So how do we achieve this metamorphosis from one state to another? Well, it's by deliberately feeding our inner man with scripture, with worship music, with prayer, with sound teaching and preaching, and by becoming filled with God's word. When we allow it, and that's the key word, guys, we have to allow it to work in us. In James 1:21, it says that the word of God is engrafted in us. But we have to do the work. We have to pick up the Bible. We have to say, Lord, lead me to the scriptures you want for my life today. We have to research a topic. If you're struggling with a certain area of your life, go and research that topic and begin to fill your mind with what God's word has to say. And by doing this, this is what happens. We begin to recognize every false belief and every attitude that we've had, everywhere where the enemy has come in to deceive us, telling us this is okay, that's okay. It's literally confronted with the truth of God's word. And once that attitude or that false belief is confronted with the truth of God's word, we have to make a decision to live by what God has to say, not what we've been taught, not what the world says, not what the media says, not even what our parents have told us. It is literally part of your daily and my daily transformation. Sometimes, my friends, it's minute by minute. Sometimes it's hour by hour, the process of taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's part of the process of throwing off everything that hinders us, according to Hebrews 12:1. The goal of the transformation, guys, is to become like God in our character, but it takes determination, it takes effort. And the Bible says we have to put off the old self and put on the new self. In Ephesians 4:22-23, he talks about the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, sometimes things change quickly, and sometimes it's a gradual process. And sometimes we fail, and sometimes we fall. So we just have to ask ourselves, as we're making decisions, who am I being in this matter? Am I the transformed self, or am I reverting back to the old self? Which self do I want to be? And literally, God gives us free will. He gives us a free choice, and he has mercy on us when we fail and when we fall. The scripture repeatedly calls upon you and I to grow up in our salvation. So our goal is to be built up, to become mature, to grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. And Paul prayed in Ephesians 4, 12 through 15, that we would be growing in the knowledge of God. Listen to this, guys. This is so good. You and I, no matter how long you've been a Christian, if you've been a Christian for 2 days or 20 years, he says we are growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Now, get that, because he says it's according to his glorious might. Sometimes our might is not so glorious. So we say, God, I'm depending on your glorious might so that I may have great endurance and run this race with patience. He also prayed that Christ would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know him better. So as you're beginning your day every day, simply say, God, I thank you that you have given me a spirit of wisdom, that you have given me a spirit of revelation knowledge, that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened. And then he goes on to say, and you can literally quote this over your quiet time with God, that we may know, and just say to him, that I may know your incomparably great power for me who believes. I love this. And I love this. So he says, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus, do this more and more. So it's a continual process. He wants us to do it more and more and more. You know, sometimes, and I've done this, sometimes we've studied, we've been in the Word, we're just so full, and then all of a sudden, we kind of feel like we've got it. And you start to kind of slack off a little bit. You don't read your Bible every day. You don't study every day. Forget to pray, you get busy, you just jump up and hit the ground running. But listen to this. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 7, exercise thyself unto godliness. And the Greek word there, listen to this, this is very interesting, is gymnazo, which refers to the intense training for an athletic contest. We are literally to train with the word of God like an athlete. Hebrews speaks of those who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, and it speaks of God's discipline that produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So we literally are constantly training. It's like training for a great sporting event. Every morning you would get up earlier than usual. I remember when my brother was training for the triathlon in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He was training actually for the Ironman competition in Coeur d'Alene, which he did and he completed. But I remember he went from being a couch potato, pudgy couch potato. I don't know if he's listening to this, but my brother inspired me so much, because when my father died of prostate cancer, there was an opportunity for my brother to run a marathon to raise money and raise awareness for prostate cancer diagnosis and research. And he went from being an overweight, pudgy little couch potato to this guy that got up every morning at 5 a.m. with three little kids and a very busy wife and his own career as a law professor. And he would get up every morning at 5 a.m. and he would run, and he would run, and he would run. And I remember when we always go to Florida every year on a family vacation, and I remember that year that he was training. He had me walk the beach with him while he swam way out into the ocean, and he swam for miles and miles and miles as I watched him and kept my eye on him the entire time as I walked the beach. And I watched him get on his bicycle, and he'd be gone for hours, and he would be biking and biking. What he was doing is he was training himself. He was training himself for this Ironman competition. And he literally transformed himself to where you would literally not have recognized him from the man that he was before he began to the man that he was when he completed that competition. And the key is, guys, we will never complete the competition until we stand before our Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We are to exercise. People think godliness is a bad word. They see it as something that's not good, and yet God says that we are called to righteousness and godliness. And so we have to exercise, guys. We got to exercise our spiritual muscles. We got to stay in the Word. We've got to stay connected. We got to call into the coffee of the words or whatever God gives you that inspires you and encourages you. And I say every time that we gather together, we are powering up with the Word of God, powering up, vitally connected to His Word and what God has to say about the circumstances and situations of our lives. Not what we think, what we feel. Everything has to be based on what is our God speaking to our heart. So today, this day, ask God what needs to be transformed in your heart and mind. What needs to be transformed in your life? What are you focusing on? What do you have your mind on that's taking you away from the mission and the plan that God has for your life? And ask God to show you where you need to exercise and how you need to be built up in your holy faith. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, says, His divine power has given us everything. And if I was speaking for a group, I would make everyone say everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His own goodness. It isn't through our own glory. It isn't through our goodness that we can do this. In our flesh, we are weak. In and of ourselves, we will fall and we will fail. But God says, by His own glory, by His goodness. And through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Then He goes on to say, for this reason, now listen, this is so good, make every effort. There's the exercise. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. And isn't that the key right there? Whatever we're doing in life, we don't want anything to keep us from being effective and productive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in closing, he says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and your election sure. So if you do these things, you will never fail. So we must make every effort and pursue our calling and election eagerly. Apart from Him, we can do nothing, according to John 3 and 5. But thank God, my friends, that we do not have to do anything apart from Him. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word that gives us the ability to stay powered up. Father, show us where you want us to be transformed. Thank you, God, that you are constantly ever at work in our conscience, in our just as we examine everything about our lives, Father God, show us where you want us to change. Show us what you want us to do. And Father, we thank you that through you and in you and abiding in you, we can do all of these things as we run this race that you have set before us and we press in to the high calling of Christ Jesus in our lives. So, Lord, we love you. We lay our lives at your feet afresh and anew again today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.